This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
So, this whole thing about collusion, I have a question. What about collusion with Christopher Steele to create the dossier? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Thanks for being part of it. Happy Thursday. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. Happy Eagles preseason game as well. First of all, I want to share this with you from the Daily Caller. Chuck Ross, great reporting as usual. Christopher Steele was working on the Trump dossier the same time he was lobbying Department of Justice official Bruce Ohr on behalf of a Russian oligarch linked to Putin. Newly revealed emails show Steele thought the U.S. government should grant visas to Deripaska, who had been barred from traveling to the U.S. Steele asked the Justice Department official to keep an eye on her case. At the same time, Christopher Steele was compiling a dossier accusing the Trump campaign of colluding with the Russian government. The former British spy was lobbying Department of Justice official Bruce Ohr on behalf of a Russian oligarch. The connection between the two is laid out in emails the Justice Department recently provided to Congress. The emails show that Steele, a former British spy, advocated for Deripaska in negotiations. Deripaska, an aluminum magnate, had been blocked from traveling to the U.S. in 2006 because of suspected ties to Russian mobsters. So he hired an American lawyer named Adam Waldman to lobby the U.S. government to obtain a visa for the billionaire. The Washington Examiner detailed the exchanges which show Christopher Steele discussing Deripaska with the Justice Department official Ohr. The former number four official at the Justice Department, kind of big, right? Kind of high ranking. Steele's relationship with Deripaska has been one of the most bizarre aspects of the dossier saga, mainly because it raises the possibility that the Putin-connected businessman was a source for the salacious document. Steele's unverified 35-page dossier relies heavily on information from anonymous Kremlin insiders who claim that the Russian government was colluding with the Trump campaign to defeat Hillary Clinton. I heard from Adam Waldman yesterday that the OD is applying for another official U.S. visa, Steele wrote in January 12, 2016 email. Steele claimed that Deripaska, the Russian, had been encouraged by the agency guys. And they said, look, you know, the government's softening here. Steele emailed the Justice Department official again on February 8th of 2016 to say that Deripaska had been granted a visa to travel to the U.S. later that month. He also made a request of Ohr in the email. Quick question for you. If Christopher Steele was lobbying on behalf of this Russian oligarch and lobbying this Justice Department official about this, and you're not allowed to have these kind of foreign relationships, and then Christopher Steele is using foreigners to compile information and the Clinton campaign's paying him to do this, doesn't this whole thing stink like a rotten fish to you? Ohr said that to the extent that I can, I will keep an eye on the situation. The number four guy at the Justice Department said, I'll keep an eye on the investigation here. So links between the Christopher Steele and Deripaska began to emerge in 2018 after Republican lawmakers began inquiring about a possible relationship between the two. Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley has pressed Steele, Waldman, and a London-based lawyer named Paul Hauser about Steele's possible links to Deripaska. FBI Director Christopher Wray was also asked about it. There's no reason yet, we can't understand why Steele was working for Deripaska or interested in his visa status. We do know, though, that it does seem to undercut one of the theories about collusion that Deripaska conspired with Paul Manafort. Deripaska's business ties to the longtime Republican political operative have come under intense scrutiny from Democrats and the media, leading to some speculation that Manafort and Deripaska may have colluded during the 2016 presidential campaign. In one July 7th, 2016 email, Manafort told a Ukraine-based associate he'd be willing to provide briefings about the campaign to Deripaska. If he needs private briefings, we can accommodate, Manafort wrote to his associate. At the time, Manafort and Deripaska were in a dispute over a failed business deal involving uranium cable companies. Again, if you're just joining us, emails show Christopher Steele lobbied a Department of Justice official on behalf of a Russian oligarch. Manafort is currently on trial, as you know, steal and or maintain contact throughout the presidential campaign and beyond. So this guy, Christopher Steele, who made the dossier, talking to this Russian, lobbying for this Russian, then they keep in contact. They're also in contact with the Justice Department officials after the campaign. On July 1st, 2016, Christopher Steele reached out to Orr in hopes of discussing our favorite business tycoon. That's actually words he used in an email. It is unclear if Steele was referring to Deripaska or Donald Trump. Steele met with Orr and his wife, a Russian expert named Nellie Orr, on July 30th, 2016, at a Washington, D.C. hotel. Nellie Orr also happened to work at the time for Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm that hired Christopher Steele, paid for by the Clinton campaign. Bruce Orr and Fusion GPS founder Glenn Simpson also appear to have had contact prior to the election. Simpson emailed Orr on August 22, 2016, asking to speak by phone. Not clear whether the two spoke, but Simpson did not disclose that contact when he discussed Orr during a November 14, 2017 deposition. During that interview, Simpson said he met with Orr for coffee after the election to discuss the Trump investigation. He did not tell the House panel, House of Representatives panel, that Orr's wife worked for Fusion GPS. So you have connections here between the Justice Department official and Christopher Steele, the Justice Department official's wife and Fusion GPS. Fusion GPS paying for the dossier, the Clinton campaign funding Fusion GPS and the dossier. Don't you understand why some people think there might be a little bit of collusion going on here? But it's not the collusion you think of. It's collusion between the Obama Justice Department, the Clinton campaign, and Russians to compile a dossier on Donald Trump. It doesn't take much to put the dots together here, kids. It really doesn't. Christopher Steele reaches out to this guy, Orr's wife works for Fusion GPS. They're in contact with Russians. They're lobbying for a Russian. They're putting information together. Now, my question is this. If it's illegal for an American citizen to get information from a foreigner and use that information politically, when are these people getting indicted, is my question. That's what I want to know. When are the people from Fusion GPS getting indicted? When is Mrs. Orr getting indicted? When is Christopher, well, I guess Christopher Steele, he could be indicted too. Why not? And then the Clinton people who wrote the checks, when are they getting indicted as well? Because it seems to me you can't have it both ways. If it's illegal for Donald Trump Jr. to say, yeah, let's have a meeting about what you know about Hillary Clinton, then this stuff is damn sure illegal. Going back and forth, compiling a dossier. Oh, boy. I tell you what. That's why a lot of us are just so fired up over this ridiculous Mueller probe. It's going on and on. And yet, right in front of them, you have written proof of collusion between the Clinton campaign and the Russians, and nobody seems to care. It's why people say there is a deep state, you understand. It's why people continue to say that you have an entire Justice Department that was working against a presidential candidate. All right. Space Force is going to be a thing. I don't understand why we need a Space Force. I'm confused here. I really am, because I don't know why we need another government department. I'm really against expanding government anymore. I truly am. I'm not suggesting that the activities of a Space Force are not necessary. I just don't know why we can't just incorporate them with the Air Force or the Navy. I don't know why we have to create another government department. I don't want any more government departments. I don't want any more bureaucrats. I don't want any more spending. I don't want to expand government. And I don't want Republicans doing it either. I don't want any more government. I'm tired of it. This is the problem, right? We, after 9/11, created the Department of Homeland Security, the biggest expansion of government since Lyndon Johnson, done by Republicans. Now, today, we're going to expand government again with another branch of the military. And you know what? A lot of people go, well, it's the military, so what? It's still going to be rife with bureaucrats. It's still going to be expensive. And you have departments that could handle this stuff. The Air Force, the NASA. I don't understand the point of this. But anyway, this is it just all came out today, and I'm seeing it on the news, and I haven't digested the whole plans here, but you'd have a Assistant Secretary of Defense for Space, so that's another bureaucrat job. You'd have a Space Development Agency. You'd have a Space Operations Force. I get it. You know, Mars may attack someday, and we got to be ready for it. I just don't know why we have to add another department of government. Why we have to have another government agency? We have enough. I'm not suggesting that threats from space aren't real or threats from Russia and China in space are not real. Of course they are. I'm not an idiot. I'm just saying threats from our government going broke are also very, very real. And expanding government and $8 billion in new spending, these things matter a lot, by the way. And again, I do believe that there are real threats on the horizon. No doubt about it. I'm not suggesting there aren't. I'm not naive. I just also don't want to use that as an excuse to drastically increase the size of the federal government. Again. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. If you disagree, weigh in. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why we need another department of government, another government agency. Tell me why. This is an interesting story, though, about the threats from space. NASA astronaut reveals spotting alien-like organic object floating near him on space shuttle mission. Leland Melvin claims he came across the object, which NASA said was a piece of ice, while he was working on the space shuttle Atlantis. He's 54 years old. He works as an engineer on board the Atlantis when he spotted the translucent item while orbiting Earth. He admits that NASA said the incident was just ice breaking away from the vessel. But in a chat on Twitter with his fans, he says, they asked him, have you ever seen any evidence of aliens? And he said, yeah. He said, yeah. The object was translucent, curved, and organic looking. He says, I have not seen a UFO in space or on the ground, but thought I saw something organic slash alien floating out of the payload bay. Randy Bresnik and I called the ground to ask what it could be. Could it be? And they said it was ice and that it had broken off of the Freon hoses. And he said, well, what do you think about that? And he said, well, NASA told him just keep calm. And he said, I don't think so. But then he says, I was about to say, Houston, we have a problem. But now everyone spins up those when the words are uttered from a space vehicle. So he's, I think, a believer right there. He might be a believer in alien life forms. There was a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal called Life. Anybody see that movie? It was pretty good, actually. Did you see that?
No.
It's all about kind of the same thing, like a little life form that they get, you know, they find, and then sure enough, it grows and kills everybody on board. I mean, I liked it better when it was called Alien, but nevertheless, it was a pretty good movie. But
and Jake Gyllenhaal was Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely like that better. But you never heard that movie, huh? Life, it was pretty good. I mean, it's not the greatest, but it was okay.
I liked it better.
Yeah, I liked it better when it was called Alien. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Okay, we got some great audio for you. And this is Mike Pence, the vice president, explaining how the Space Force will become a reality, assuming Congress appropriates the funds and creates a department, because that's how it's supposed to work under our Constitution. Cut three.
The time has come to establish the United States Space Force. And that's what brings us here today. 7 weeks ago, President Trump directed the Department of Defense to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a Space Force as the sixth branch of the armed forces. The President made it clear that our ultimate objective is to create a new branch of our military that's separate from and equal to five other branches. Today, the Department of Defense will release a report outlining the first stages of our administration's plan to implement the President's guidance and turn his vision into a reality. This report reviews the national security space activities within the Department of Defense, and it identifies concrete steps that our administration will take to lay the foundation for a new Department of the Space Force. Now, to be clear, the Space Force will not be built from scratch, because the men and women who run and protect our nation's space programs today are already the best in the world. And since the dawn of the space age, America has remained the best in space.
All right. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Greg, by the way, why don't we get the audio together to contrast from that Facebook comment? You know what I'm talking about? The Facebook comment you directed me to?
Yes.
Let's see if we can do a side-by-side comparison of the audio. Because I think at facebook.com/Zeoli Show, an excellent comment was posted, which we'll share with you in just a matter of moments. Okay, glad you're here. Thanks for being part of the show. Appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. By the way, Jim Acosta went on Late Night with Stephen Colbert last night. Did you catch this last night?
No, I saw clips.
He is such a pompous ass, this guy. I really don't like him. I just don't like him. But the good news, though, is that there's a writer from, I guess it's Vox or The Atlantic, who took him to task for making it all about him.
What a shock.
Right?
It's all about Jim.
It's all about Jim Acosta. It's all about Jim Acosta, and it makes it all about him. So, yeah, actually, another member of the media said, dude, like, you know, get over yourself, man. Get over yourself. But he goes on last night. He's hailed by a hero by Stephen Colbert. What a brave man he is. Take a listen.
At the last press briefing, I think this was the last one before they went on vacation, you asked this of Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
All the people around the world are watching what you're saying, Sarah, and the White House for the United States of America, the President of the United States, should not refer to us as the enemy of the people. His own daughter acknowledges that, and all I'm asking you to do, Sarah, is to acknowledge that right now and right here.
Why?
Woo!
People seem to...
Not a big deal, right? Just say we're not the enemy of the people.
So I'm shocked that Stephen Colbert's audience would be rooting for that. I'm shocked.
He loved it too. He had a smile on his face, like, oh, they like me. They really like me.
Of course. You know, it's like it's all about him. That's why it's all about him.
Yeah, and they're editing it. But the problem in these briefings now, when you watch him, or when there are a lot of people in the media who want to get their question in. They might be talking about asking about small business. They might be talking about the economy. They have all different, you know, an array of questions. And so he just sucks the air out of the room,
yeah,
and even interrupts other reporters as if he somehow has, you know, more clout than any other journalist in the room. It's very annoying.
Jim Acosta's dangerous brand of performance journalism. By Todd Purdom over at theatlantic.com. The verb to accost comes from the old French that meant to sail up close to a ship or shoreline. CNN's Jim Acosta lived up to his patronymic name where he confronted White House press secretary, blah, blah, blah. But he goes on to say that the problem with Jim Acosta is that he continuously makes it all about him. Mm-hmm. It always becomes about him. And so that is the problem. It's his confrontational style. Acosta's confrontation, so florid, so vivid, also plays directly into Trump's received narrative about a hostile, combative, and even unfair press. It's an uncomfortable echo of Dan Rather's famous 1974 exchange with Richard Nixon, when an audience at the National Association of Broadcasters meeting greeted Rather's mere introduction with applause and scattered boos. And Nixon inquired, "Are you running for something?" Rather bowed his head in a humble brag way before rejoining, "No, sir, Mr. President, are you?" prompting a frozen skeleton smile from Nixon. The last thing Trump or the press or the public needs is another convenient villain in the performative arena of the long-running reality show that is the Trump administration. Acosta's broadside blurs the line between reporting and performance, between work and war, at a time when journalists have a greater obligation than ever to demonstrate that what they do is real and matters and is not just part of the passing show. Obviously, this guy's a typical lefty, you know, journalist who hates Trump's guts. But his point, though, is pretty valid, right? Like, Acosta's doing a show. It's a Jim Acosta show.
Right.
Like, and shut up and let other journalists who actually want to ask questions get a word in, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's just, it's really annoying, and it's gotten so much worse, which means his narcissism and his ego is just, you know, full blown.
What other White House reporter? I mean, I don't mean people who host shows on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, but like, what other reporter goes on late night TV and is like, is applauded and hailed like this guy? Like,
he's a celebrity.
He's a celebrity.
Do you remember the time that he asked Stephen Miller? He asked him how the poem on the base of the Statue of Liberty, and he started to quote it to Stephen Miller about immigration. Mm-hmm. He literally said, and he started saying, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free." How does that possibly jibe with Trump's harsh anti-immigration policy? He did that because he knew it would become a clip of him asking the question. Because he's a jackass, and that's what he does. He gets it all about him. He gets himself to go viral.
Well, it seems like he's vying for his own show. He wants to take over for the lesser or whoever's time slot he wants, and so it's self-serving. And that's really not what any of us are supposed to do.
It makes it all about him. The lesser is very worried about his job, though, Dawn. You're right. The lesser is the last person who needs to lose his job right now.
Mm-hmm.
The lesser is, I want to mention to you, he came in third this week on CNN late night. Third.
It's amazing.
It's awesome. We're very proud of the Lesser Cuomo. Of course, there's only three shows competing with each other.
He was also beaten out by like Hogan's Heroes too, right?
No, yeah, he's right. No, he's the show's literally in 23rd place.
Oh my god,
23rd place.
So of
out of like 25,
it's at 9 p.m. right?
9 p.m. Yeah.
So between Hannity, Rachel Maddow, Hannity's at 9, right? Yeah, Hannity, Rachel Maddow, and the Lesser, he's consistently third. Like sometimes Sean and sometimes Rachel, like depending, mm-hmm. they kind of go back and forth. Although Hannity's been pretty much pounding her consistently lately. The Lesser is always third. There's never, you never have to worry about him gaining on Maddow or gaining on Hannity. No. So he places.
CNN tried to spin it because you know how you can make ratings say whatever you want them to say.
Right.
They're like, oh, it's he's up like 11% in the, you know, he's still in third place, but he's up 11% from like this time last year or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's up 11%, but you know, the Lesser. Now we got a great comment on Facebook. I tell you what you should do is you should follow along the show and you should let us know your thoughts. I let you know, I promise, I read every email, I read every tweet, I read every Facebook post. I don't always have time to respond because I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, but I do my best. But Jerry Rhodes had a great comment on our Facebook page. He says, I thought the moon landing was real until a few days ago, when I heard that phone call from Air Force One and compared it to the Giant Leap for Mankind crystal clear phone call from the moon. That's a great point.
We have a little evidence if you would like to.
Go ahead.
Rich Cut, I'm sitting here on the plane with Kellyanne Conway. She said, say hello.
Now, let me just give a little bit of basis on this real fast. Then we'll start it over. So last week, in case you don't know, a surprise phone call from Air Force One with Kellyanne Conway. And it was very, very cool. David Urban initiated the call, our buddy. So that was really cool, but it was terrible audio. Terrible audio. We made the best of it anyway. Go ahead. Commentator, of course. And I think he's one of the smartest, sharpest political minds out there. And the guy who, one of the people we can credit with President Trump winning Pennsylvania. So David Urban, welcome back to the show. And how are things?
Rich Cut, I'm sitting here on the plane with Kellyanne Conway. She said, say hello. Hold on.
Hi, Rich. Hi, Philadelphia.
Hi, Kellyanne Conway. How's Air Force One?
How are you?
We're doing great. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. Back to Wilkes-Barre in the Scranton area. President is doing a rally supporting Lou Barletta. And we know firsthand what it's like to hear, you can't win, you can't win, you can't win. I'm going to my personal capacity. You can't win, you can't win, you can't win. And we didn't listen to that in Pennsylvania 2 years. We did not listen to it this time. The president's going to talk about it.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a taste, and it gets worse from there. It gets worse from there, and it goes, there's like 5 minutes I couldn't even understand her. All right? Now we're going to compare that to Neil Armstrong.
I didn't realize you wanted to do that. I'm sorry. I just had that clip up, but I can get Neil Armstrong.
Okay, well, then we'll get Neil Armstrong, because that's the point that the Facebook post was making. You compare the audio of the two, and then you might think the moon landing was, in fact, faked, because the audio in 1969 was way better than the audio from Air Force One on Tuesday, this past Tuesday. anyway, 855-839-1210, #1210 to sell. Look, we love to laugh. We love to give serious issues. We also love to have a good time. So right now, if you're caller number 12, we're going to give you a 4-pair of tickets to the Conklin Comedy Night, Parks Casino, Wednesday, August 22nd. 8 p.m. featuring headliner Willie Tyler and Lester, along with Maureen Landgan. I'll be there. Dawn will be there. Greg will be there. It's another of Conklin's Comedy Night, Wednesday, August 22nd. And tickets are just $20 and include your first drink free. They're available at parkscasino.com/comedy night. Parks, P-A-R-X, casino.com/comedy night. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Look, come out and see us. It'll be fun. We'll have a great night, good laughs, and that's next week or week after, Wednesday, August 22nd. All right? Love to see you there.
Evan Yell Armstrong.
Go like ahead.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
It actually does sound a little clearer than Kellyanne Conway on Air Force One.
Record, bearing opportunity, lowest unemployment rate for African Americans, Hispanic, Asian Americans, lowest unemployment rate in 69 years for women, more veterans working, more disabled Americans working. 6.6 million jobs, including many in Pennsylvania, that are unfilled and waiting for willing workers. The reskilling, the training, the...
Well, Jerry Rhodes, sir, I think you may have cracked the case. He wrote, I thought the moon landing was real till a few days ago when I heard that phone call from Air Force One and compared it to the Giant Leap for Mankind crystal clear phone call from the moon in 1969. Well, sir, that is what we call scientific evidence right there. I'm not saying I think the moon landing was faked. I'm just saying if I was going to believe in a conspiracy, that's the one I would pick. I'd pick that one, Dawn. That's the one.
All right, I'll pick that one.
You want to pick that one too? All right. What's another good one? I could do this all day. But we can't do this all day because we have a lot of real news to get to, including whether or not Nancy Pelosi is in fact losing her friggin' mind. And Rosie O'Donnell suggests something. Now, if you were at the Trump rally last week, I want to know if you agree with Rosie O'Donnell's sentiment here. She said this about you on MSNBC. Take a listen.
Come November, we're going to save democracy or we're going to lose it. That is the whole thing. If we save democracy and we turn the House, he's gone. And it might take however long it takes for the impeachment trial to go out, but we're going to have to start the healing in America. We're going to have to start not being on different sides and understand what this man did was unfair and inhumane, and even to the people who trusted him the most. That's what's heartbreaking. You see these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there, screaming about...
Okay, paid to be there, all right? So are you, if you've gone to a Trump rally, how much money did you get for going, is my question. How were you paid in cash, Bitcoin, credit card, check? How did it work for you?
Some of those rallies are quite large, so they would have to pay, even if they paid each person, what, $10? You're talking like tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, right?
Right. And like, you realize nobody has come out and said, yeah, I got paid for this?
Nobody.
With all the hatred of Trump out there, you're telling me not one person will come out and go, here's my checky. You know, look at this.
See these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there.
Yeah, paid to be there. All right. So if you were paid, how much did you make? 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. And were you paid under the off the books? You know what I'm saying? Under the table. You know what I mean? Wink, wink. All right, 5:30, Talk Radio 1210, coming right back. Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot. Happy Thursday. Thanks for being part of the show. Rosie O'Donnell, now, this is an interesting point. Johnny says, are you sure she isn't saying that the people at the rallies paid their own money to get there? That's how it sounded to me. Okay, let's take another look at it, another listen to it. And then she goes on to insult the people who were there. So take a listen.
Come November, we're going to save democracy or we're going to lose it. That is the whole thing. If we save democracy and we turn the House, he's gone. And it might take however long it takes for the impeachment trial to go out, but we're going to have to start the healing in America. We're going to have to start not being on different sides and understand that what this man did was unfair and inhumane, and even to the people who trusted him the most. That's what's heartbreaking. You see these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there, screaming about, that he's right and letting all their racist, deep, dark, horrible corners of their soul flourish. It's so against everything American. It really is. And I hope that we can flip this and save democracy. If we can't, I gotta believe that fascism will take over in America, and that will be the death of democracy, this 200 and something year old experiment.
You should go to Canada. So she's definitely saying they're paid to be there. They're paid to be there. Yeah. In other words, paid to attend. Not that you paid to attend, but that here's what Rosie O'Donnell is suggesting. She's suggesting that Trump can't fill an arena without people getting paid to be there. So if you went, it's because you got paid off to be there. And then while you're there, you have to chant and do all the crazy things that she's just accused you of doing.
But why does she feel sorry for them if they're actually disingenuous and they're paid to be there?
Yeah, good question, right?
Which is it?
Yeah, which is it? And exposing their souls, their racist souls, why would they have to be paid then to be there?
Exactly.
It can't be both, right?
You don't pay to get in the rallies, right?
No,
they're all free.
So all free.
So then that That thing makes no theory makes
the
no
train
sense
of then. Logic makes zero yeah, sense yeah. Because if you're paid to be there and then but you're exposing your real soul, nobody has to pay you to be there because you just want to be there.
Exactly.
She's not very bright. She should go to Canada. Fascism would be the death of democracy because it'd be fascism. Exactly right. So that would be in fact the death of democracy because it'd be fascism. It'd be a different political system. So you're right about that part. Let's see. Suzanne was in St. Augustine. Suzanne, how are you?
Hi. Oh, such a pleasure to I heard your ad on a different show, and I've been listening to you ever since. Just love it.
Awesome. Thank you.
I get no work done from 3 to 6, but that's
good.
Okay.
All right. Well, aren't you a sweetheart, Suzanne? Thank you.
Thank you. What I want to tell you is my secretary got free tickets. We went over and stood for 3 hours. 10 people ahead of us. They were charging nobody anything. 10 people ahead of us, they closed the door because they let everybody in. I'd have stayed there 24 hours in the sun waiting for him. He has changed the economy. I am a small business owner. Life is great again. And Rosie is a pig.
What do you do? What's your business?
Automatic ID and barcoding, and my husband developed a evidence tracking system for smaller police departments being 100 and less. And originally from Jersey and Philly. He used to work for Otis Elevator, in fact.
They're here every day in our building. Every day. All right, so what's the name of your business?
It's called Progressive Microtechnology.
Mm-hmm.
St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, okay. You're down in Florida? Awesome.
Yes, we were in Cincinnati last with the corporate moves around the world with Otis. And then all of a sudden, we had come here 46 years ago, and so we absolutely adored it. Hasn't changed much. Now it has. There's a million people. And we said, what are we waiting for? We said we were going to someday own a business, and by that time, we already owned the business, and we just brought it down with us. And this is paradise.
Good for
and I
you.
I shouldn't say that.
Well, listen, you tell your friends about the show because we like the fact that we're on in Florida.
Oh, yes, I will. Believe me. Yes, every afternoon, 3 to 6. Once again, nothing done.
Thank you, my dear. Appreciate it, Suzanne. Love Florida. Love it. See, we are nationally syndicated. I don't have to go to Sirius.
All because of the radio.com app.
Radio.com app. Tim was paid to go to the rally. Tim, you were paid to go to the rally. Tim. Hello, Tim.
No, this is Paul.
Oh, Paul. Sorry, Paul.
Yes, I was paid in rubles.
Rubles? That's a Russian currency you were paid.
Yes.
It's good.
Do I have to declare that on my income tax?
No, definitely not. Don't do that. You'll have Mueller coming after you, Tim. I'd rather have the IRS come after me. You'll be much safer.
All right.
What are you going to do, Paul, with the rubles? What are you going to do?
I'm going to try to trade them in for a Bitcoin.
Good for you. Smart man. All right, buddy. Thank you. Ted is in Swarthmore. Ted, how are you?
No, Rich. It's Frank from Malvern.
Frank in Malvern. Guys, are we drinking over there? What's going on here?
We're training a new guy. It's his second day.
New guy. Frank does not sound like Ted.
But maybe Frank and Ted are trying to play a trick on the new guy. That could be going on.
That could be going on as well, right? What's up, Frank and Malvern?
New guy's doing a fine job. He was fine. Rich, I think she's saying that we pay to be there. I think what she's trying to say is Trump voters are suckers, and they're even such suckers that they pay this guy to go to their rallies.
No,
rallies.
No. Listen,
you, man.
No, wait, Greg, can you play it again?
I can.
Okay, take a listen. Skip to the part where she just says that, if you can.
You see these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there, screaming about.
Okay,
you know,
so you're saying she's saying that they paid to be at the rally.
Most of them paid to be there.
No, she's saying paid I've paid you to do a job.
No. Here's what she's saying. She's saying she thinks we're suckers, Rich. So you got to think what Rosie thinks about us. She thinks we're idiots. She thinks we're suckers. She thinks we have deep, dark secrets of racism. And Trump is not only playing off that, but he's making money off of us. We're paying to be there. Mm. That's what she thinks, brother. I'm telling you, she says they paid to be there, meaning she thinks that we don't get this. She has no clue what she's talking about because we don't pay to be there. But that's what she thinks, ma'am. That's what she thinks of us.
Listen, Frank, Ted, whoever the hell you are, I think you're onto something.
Hey, new guy's doing a good job, though, man. Cut him a break.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You see these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there, screaming about,
Frank's theory makes a lot of sense, though, actually.
Yeah.
He may not be wrong. I met Frank at a Target.
Did Bridget, you pay to be there?
I paid to be there. Bridget and I were in line at a Target in Pennsylvania, and the guy behind me goes, "Hey, I love your show." It was Frank from Malvern, or Ted from Swarthmore, whatever. his pseudonym, his closet identity. Who is this? What's your name? Hello, who
Tom.
Are you?
Tom.
Tom from Phoenixville.
That's it.
Hey, new guy, you got it right. Beautiful. All right. What's up, Tom?
We were there, and we did not get in. We did get free tickets that were the result of a phone call, and then you have to respond on an email, and they send you the tickets. But I guess there were probably a couple thousand people that didn't get in, and I was really taken with how positive people were disappointed, but there was a really nice crowd of people. Nobody was angry, very optimistic, and it was a fun time just hanging out with a bunch of people you didn't know.
So how much did you pay to go to the rally?
I bought a hat when I got there. I didn't pay anything.
So
except
you,
for my tolls on the turnpike.
So you bought a hat. You bought the hat from Trump, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You see these people at these rallies, most of them paid to be there.
All right, Tom.
Yeah. The funny thing was there was a little kid near us. We were in front of two Secret Service agents, and the kid got the on his app, he was able to watch the rally or the speech inside, and he noticed the protesters, and they mentioned they were escorted out. So he asked the Secret Service agent, "Hey, throw the rest of them out and let us in." Right? So the Secret Service agent actually started snickering at that a little bit. He thought it was funny.
It's true, though. But it makes a good point. Thank you, Tom.
All right, thank you.
You got it. Following Tom is Jerry in Southampton. Hey, Jerry.
Rich, hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey. Great. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, it was an honor to, to see a sitting president speak. We went to the rallies before he was elected. But, obviously now that he's president, the harder we got there early, we were up front, real close in line. The harder it started raining, the more people showed up. There was so much,
How much did you pay to be there?
Paid nothing.
How much were you paid to be there? What did you make? Listen to me. How much money did you make off this scam?
I made. It cost a lot of money to drive to Wilkes-Barre from the Philadelphia area. So the gas money, it cost me that.
All right, you got paid off, didn't you, to be there?
No, I didn't get paid off.
All right.
You know what? The upper level, as it started to fill up, we didn't think it was going to fill up the arena because we're already in. They had sections blocked off. They took the cover off sections of seats and actually they kept adding more people in there.
All
it was
right.
Unbelievable.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you.
You could have played along with my humor, but that's all right. Good call anyway. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. All right. The best in all that, of course, was the guy who said he got paid in rubles. That was hysterical. Well said. Okay, glad you are here today. Very much appreciate it. Always thank you for listening. Let's see. There's a lot to get to, but a man was arrested at a New Mexico compound. Now, he is the son of an imam with possible link to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. This is from CBS News. The man arrested at a squalid New Mexico compound is the son of a controversial Brooklyn imam who was on a list of people who may be alleged as co-conspirators to the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, according to court documents released by prosecutors Wednesday. Siraj Wahaj, who also shares a name with his son, who was arrested on Saturday, testified as a character witness for Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, the notorious blind sheikh, who was convicted in 1995 of plotting terror attacks in the U.S. Of course, the prosecutor in that, our very, very good friend, Andrew C. McCarthy. Authorities found 11 children and 4 adults living in filthy conditions in the compound Saturday in Amalia, New Mexico. Prosecutors also allege in court documents that Wahala, 39, was teaching the children to commit school shootings. The document claims Wahaj was conducting weapons training with assault rifles at the compound with the children. Taos County Sheriff Jerry Hogriff previously said adults of the compound were considered extremists of the Muslim belief. He did not elaborate, saying it was part of the investigation. Authorities were searching the compound in search of the younger 4-year-old who was severely disabled and disappeared from Georgia in December. This guy's accused of kidnapping the boy. So basically what this guy was looking to do here was to use kids as terrorists to go shoot up schools. So a little scary, but they got the guy, which is good. Okay. Today, the president had a great roundtable on prison reform at Bedminster at the Trump National Golf Club. Excellent roundtable with governors and attorneys general on prison reform. This was put together by Jared Kushner. I spent some time on this earlier in the show, but tomorrow we'll have audio for you from the event. But just know this. The point is that this is not going to be covered by the news. I want to make sure I keep saying it because you have black pastors involved, the NAACP involved, and even guys like Cory Booker, who's, you know, has been letting me down in so many different respects as a New Jersey resident. On this issue, though, he's reached across the aisle with Senator Mike Lee, who's fantastic, Senator Rand Paul, who's the best, Senator Ted Cruz, and they're working on this prison reform thing. Now, you're not going to hear coverage of this because Donald Trump has to always be portrayed as racist, and Republicans have to always be portrayed as authoritarians. Problem is, there are a lot of Republican authoritarians. But the bill passed the House. It should pass the Senate. And hopefully after today, it will. Great ideas coming from Republican governors and Republican attorneys general on how you can, in fact, deal with prison reform. That means when somebody leaves prison, if they pay their debt to society, how can they turn their life around? How can they go get a job, be a productive citizen? What can we do? And then you tackle sentencing reform. All this is very near and dear to Jared Kushner's heart because his dad was sentenced to 14 months in prison. It was down in Alabama, and every Sunday, Jared would go down and see him. So I forget the prosecutor in that case. His name always escapes me. Can you Google that for
Christopher
me?
Christopher Christie.
Well, that's not the same guy who's on ABC News with unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, is it?
That would be the one.
You think that's why he didn't get that big White House job he was angling for?
Yep.
Could be, huh? Could be.
Definitely. Totally.
Talk about betting on the wrong horse there, yeah. Big guy. Oh, speaking of betting, Buffalo Wild Wings is going to add sports gambling to the menu as more states go all in on legalized bookmaking. Yeah, that's pretty cool. You can just sit there at the table, eat wings, and bet on games. What could possibly go wrong, right? What could possibly
How
go wrong?
How many of the seven deadly sins will be...
in one place. Yeah, exactly. And you'll be served by hookers. That'll be... I'll come over to your table and I'll tell you what, though. This audio is pretty amazing for you. I want to play this. This is pretty good here. Where is it now? Let's see here. Nancy Pelosi, voting for Democrats gives leverage to illegal aliens. She described voting for Democrats as giving leverage to illegal aliens during a Wednesday press conference in El Paso, Texas. I don't really understand why she would tip her hand like that, but nevertheless, take a listen.
We are not going to be able to get it done under the Republican leadership in Congress. We believe that we will have leverage when we win in November. And why that's important? Because it gives leverage to every family, to every mom who courageously brought her child across the desert to escape death, rape, gang violence, and the rest. Because it gives hope because of the leverage it gives to families a father or dad may have gone home for a family funeral and now can't come back into the country. All of those injustices have to be corrected. There's a path, and that path is greatly brightened by the knowledge of that is in this community who sees firsthand simple solutions which make a big difference in people's lives. We're getting ready for this. And it is only to come back to a place that honors our values, recognizes the importance of immigration to the success of America.
Oh, there you go. So listen, if you want the illegals to have a place to stay, vote Democrat. She just basically rolled out their campaign platform for 2018 midterms. All right, Greg, let's do it.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Destiny Jewelry. Destiny Jewelry says, Rich, I think we ought to put the... Guys, stop talking.
Rich, easy. Think, the guy's new.
I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
He's Professor Stalker, you know.
So. Yeah, he's Rich, worse than the nuns.
Rich, I think we ought to put the I don't know my own website or what a debit card Green Party from Ohio in charge of the new Space Force. He knows a thing or two about space, right?
That guy would be pretty
great
good.
Idea.
Well played. Well done. That's a new Twitter follower, too. We just got her today. So
that's nice.
Excellent job.
Thank you.
My final thought on Mark Levin are up next. But listen, you know, hiring used to be hard, right? Multiple job sites, you have stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, ZipRecruiter.com. See, ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. Applications come in. ZipRecruiter has amazing technology, analyzes each one, and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That's right, very first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/report. ZipRecruiter.com/REPORT. If you're a small business owner, if you're a hiring manager, this is going to make your life so much easier as you do your best to try to find the most qualified, highest caliber candidates out there. Let ZipRecruiter help you do that. Let ZipRecruiter make your life a whole lot easier. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/recruit, the smartest way to hire.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.